This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. You are listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
Good. I just came across the crazy story.
All right, let's hear it.
Police try to unlock phone at funeral home. Have you seen this story?
I saw the headline. I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah?
I saw a short dissertation about it, yeah.
So I guess there was something of interest on the dead man's cell phone, and it was set with the passcode or a fingerprint.
Well, it sounds like it may have been biometric only, which is common.
Yeah. But, I mean, shoot, a six-digit passcode, I mean, I don't know what the math is on how long it technically takes to try to crack one of those. So, but anyway, if it maybe was biometric only. But
if you do want to do the math,
yeah.
So it's the number of character. So it's, in this case, it would be 10, since you're using numbers only, so 0 through 9, so that's 10 characters, and then to the sixth power.
Okay.
So 10 to the sixth.
But then there's also, you have to factor in the question of, how many attempts can you make before the phone locks you out?
Right. So, and then you have to figure, so that gives you the number of possible permutations. And then the next question is, how many permutations can you do in a minute or a second? And then you divide the total number of permutations by the...
Got it.
And that's enough time to do all of the permutations. So you can probably divide that by 50%.
Yeah.
And then if you can get any other additional information, like if you know it starts with three, or if you know it starts with, you know, if there's like where on the screen or anything like that, where you can take additional information from that, you can hope, you know, hypothetically bring that down.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look and see if there's any wear and tear on my screen.
Yeah, because I put these plastic matte screen protectors on. On my devices, and you can see where my fingers hit the keyboard, and you can see where I swipe it. So if you were to, you know, clean it real well, you'd be able to see some parts of the matte finish that are more.
Use some magic cleaning fluid that'll reveal,
even
more. But anyway, the so the police basically, I guess, got a search warrant. I'm hoping that they would have to get a search warrant.
I didn't see anything about a warrant, but
But they basically, went in and asked for access to the guy's body so that they could put his finger on the fingerprint sensor of the phone. And it doesn't sound like it worked.
Yeah. Well, I think I read a brief part of that order or an article saying that on the S5, the iPhone, it uses a capacitance or, you know, an electrical connection between your body and the phone.
So if you're dead, you have, like, all of a sudden, you have no electrical charge.
Well, you have no, well, your capacitance is going to start changing quickly, so I don't know if there's a range of capacitances that are allowed for the touchpad, or it sounds like they may have removed the member. So that may have caused, that would definitely cause a change in electrical connectivity.
Yeah, you would think. I don't know. I just have these strange visions of them like trying to connect a 9-volt battery to the guy's finger or something. I don't know. It's just
some sort of steampunk nightmare.
Steampunk nightmare. Nice.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Area code 970 for all of our out of the country listeners.
Florida, and, California.
We know you're out there.
Yep.
And, I actually forgot to text Donna Dalton and see if she wants to call and be our foreign correspondent today.
All right.
My phone is about to completely die. I did not, have not been practicing good phone charge maintenance today. So,
well, I don't have any.
So I think I figured out, I remembered what it was that I wanted to talk about because I, one of my family members was the victim of some, technological terrorism this in the last week. And so are you familiar with the wireless or the keyless entry key fob hack?
I'm sure there's plenty of them.
Okay. So for a device that you can build for $30, basically what it does is it acts as a it acts as a signal, kind of like
capture.
A signal booster.
Uh-huh.
A combination signal booster / capture device. And so so basically, and I didn't really get down to, you know, I've done a bunch of research and basically said like the list of cars that are vulnerable to this, you know, is like there's like hundreds of cars that are vulnerable to it. But anyway, the way that this family member of mine whose her car got broken into is they basically position this device. I guess the range for keyless entry is about 100 feet,
mm-hmm.
supposedly. And this thing doubles that range. So if they can come anywhere within 200 feet of you and your car,
mm-hmm.
they can kind of, you know, get somewhere halfway in between, then they can, I think basically the way it works is they, there's like a handshake that goes on between the car and the key fob, and the car basically prompts the key fob and it says, "What's the secret password?" And the key fob then transmits the password, and then the car checks the password. And if the password's correct, it goes in and unlocks the doors. So what this device does, but I guess the prompt for the code is not an encrypted, or there's no code to it. It's a generic prompt. So it prompts it.
It's a static prompt of some
exactly.
kind.
Yeah. It's not specific to you or to your car.
The handshake between the fob and the car is always the same. There's like a one-time auth kind of thing where they keep track of how many authorizations have gone on and they mm-hmm. expect the next auth.
At least not yet.
Hey, I have a little key dongle that, mm-hmm. I use for that.
Yeah. And it does that?
So it's not wired. Well, I use it for my password safe.
Oh, yeah.
So,
exactly.
So I have a little USB device I plug into my computer, and it does a one-time auth. Mm-hmm. And so the first chunk of it is my identifier, and then the second chunk is based on the algorithm and the number of increments that have been, you know, put through. So, you know, at this point, it might be increment, you know, 50,000 or something.
Yeah, exactly. So basically what happens is this device prods the key. It
gets the response.
It impersonates the car. Mm-hmm. It basically prompts the key, and the key goes ahead and sends the code. The device intercepts the code. And first of all, you can, I guess, get a readout on what the code is, but then we'll transmit it to the car and get the car to open up. And
I knew wireless was a problem.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to do Faraday cages for our key fobs now.
Well, that's exactly where I was going next. But, you know, people that have keyless entry on their cars should be aware of this because if you happen to be staying the night within 200 feet of your car.
Yeah.
Then,
and I'm sure with a little bit more advanced radio equipment, you could mm-hmm. probably make that significantly longer.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be worse. But the only surefire way, well, actually, there are a couple different surefire ways to guard against it. One is very inelegant, and that is to just leave your key inside the car and use your
physical key.
Well, what's it called? The valet key.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You use the valet key instead. So that's one way. So, you know, especially if you're like in a high crime area, that's one of the ways that you can kind of thwart this attack. You know, you can basically leave the key inside the car, and that'll disable all the keyless entry. It just kind of locks, you know, the car just goes, "We're not doing this," you know, right now. So that's one. And the other one is that there are a whole ton of Faraday cage, pouches,
yep.
you know, to put your
fob
key in.
Pouch.
So tell us what a Faraday cage is, Matt. You know,
right.
I've heard him talk about it on these high tech thrillers on TV and everything. So I know in theory what it is, but.
So, in its original form, and there's many different forms it can take, mm-hmm. but basically it's a cage of metal. okay. around a device. Okay. So, for example, if we were to take a piece of brass mesh and turn it into a you know, little box, and we could put our phone in it, you would see that there's no connectivity because it's basically because it's absorbing all of the radio waves and redirecting them around what's inside the box.
Okay, got it. Does it need to be made out of any special kind of material?
I think there are some. I haven't gone into Faraday cages enough. I know that one of the best materials is a fine brass mesh.
Okay,
but it can. You know, they obviously have like these RFID blocking wallets and stuff, so they probably have probably something like the metalized plastic.
Oh, okay.
Got it. Like we use for like the anti-static bag is a Faraday cage. So right. like if you get the
so that's great. I'm glad you said that because you know, my wife, being the layperson that she is, asked me. She said, "Well, you got a whole bag full of those, you know, those foil bags,
right.
you know, sitting out in your office. Why don't you just get one of those?" And I'm like, "Well, how inelegant is that?" But what do you think that would work? Would it block the signals?
It should.
Yeah.
So if it's a good one, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. They have a whole bunch of different levels, and you know, some of them are kind of see through, and some of them are pink. The pink one is just anti-static; it's dissipative.
Okay.
So I don't think that would work. But one of the, you know, the old school high quality ones where you get a hard drive in, or like a, you know, an add-on card or something. The high quality ones, you should be able to put your fob in your car and it'll be in the car will be like, "No, there's no fob here."
Got it. Okay. So, I did a little bit of research as well about, cause there are a whole bunch of them available on Amazon, as you can imagine. And I just can't believe that I had never heard of this. I mean, it's, had you heard of it before? The specific one that I described?
No, I just assumed that it was possible.
Yeah.
Cause people choose ease over security.
But there are almost 100% of the time. Criminals walking the streets of Denver at this moment with these, or well, you know, as soon as the sun goes down, you know, basically walking around using these things and just
most,
you know,
burglaries happen during the day. So.
Yeah. And, you know, we all have to have a lesson. You know, I mean, I used to leave the keys for my car underneath the floor mat and until my car got stolen, and I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter doesn't leave her MacBook in her car anymore after this. So, you know, it's, and I guess one, you know, the silver lining that I pointed out to her, because she's actually working on selling her car, is like, I'm like, well, it would have been worse if they would have thrown a brick through the window, you know. I mean, that would have been, you know, that then you would have like been out a laptop and the cost of repairing your car. So,
depending on your deductible and everything.
Yeah. So I guess the wireless key fob hack is a good thing. So,
although breaking a window is very loud and not that easy.
Yeah, it is. You know, my son used to live out in Aurora and it happened to him like twice.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just threw a brick through the window of his. And, you know, the funny thing is he drives this like pretty much of a beater Toyota Corolla. I'm like, who singles out a Toyota Corolla? I mean, I guess it kind of shows you, like, it kind of gives you a rating of the neighborhood. Like, if a Toyota Corolla is, like, if that's a bounty, then that doesn't say you need to find a better zip code. Anyway, 970-963-2976. You're listening to Geek Speak, and we are here to answer all of your technical questions. And
we
even
have a call.
With the person who's calling right now.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey guys, Craig Rifle.
Hey Craig Rifle, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, just one second.
Do you have a Faraday cage around your key? Oh, he's gone.
Do you have a Faraday cage around your FM radio?
No, I do.
All right.
a friend of mine dropped off a computer, laptop, Windows 7, a Dell, and he told me he had a BSOD, but he doesn't. He's got a starting repair. Windows tries to come up, and it goes into starting repair, and it just keeps going through starting repair.
Okay.
And I said, well, maybe I can help you with that. He said, well, throw it out if you can't. And I just thought that maybe you guys might have an idea of, is there a boot program? I talked to another guy at a job site I was at. We were just talking about stuff, and he said, well, just put the program back in and it should start up.
Yeah.
But does that mean this program is probably dead?
No, probably not. I mean, the fact that you can get, like, even get into the repair process, that tells me that it can actually read, it can still read the hard drive. You know, when you get frozen out at a black screen with a, you know, white message that says inaccessible boot device, that's when you got real problems.
Yeah, or no boot or no boot device found.
Yeah. So have you tried, do you know about F8 boot?
Yeah, I tried F8 until my finger hurt.
Okay. And what did it give you? The finger?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It didn't give you, you didn't get an F8 menu on it?
No.
No?
I did get menus in other things to come up. But I just thought since I was out and about, I'd just put it in the startup because it would go through startup repair, and then it would go to a blue screen, not a blue, a blue screen with the little pictures on it.
Well, do the
Dell's got.
Do the repair. Now, does it have like repair, advanced, clean? Like, what are the? Is it Windows 10?
No, this has actually got a little blue bars going across, like it's analyzing.
Oh, so you got the Dell factory diagnostics.
Yes.
Then okay.
Well, or the Windows diagnostics.
Yeah.
Which or Windows repair? It sounds like
it's probably Windows. It says startup repair is checking and restart your computer to complete the repairs. Well, this is something it hadn't done in 3 days.
And this is Windows 7?
That's what he said.
Oh, okay. Because so, I'm thinking it maybe is.
Yeah, because if it's like blue, if it's like two, if it's like you know, monochrome blue and white, it'd probably be Windows 10.
It's actually got the nice, cool little. Screen with flowers or whatever that Dell had on there.
Okay.
Default screen.
Well, it sounds like Windows probably botched an update, would be my guess.
Yeah. So it's probably fixable. Probably not something you want to incur brain damage on.
Oh, well, I haven't incurred much yet. I've been waiting for Monday to talk to you guys. So, I didn't know if I'd make it. I just got back from another thing, so I will move forward because I can get into other screens. I can get it to try and do other things. I just didn't go that deep. And sometimes you go, well, do this.
Yeah. Well, basically, what you know, just the technical overview of what needs to happen is it needs to be reverted back to a previous version of the registry.
Right. And I said, did you go back to restore? And he said, how would I do that? And I said, well, I'll see if I can find
it. Sounds like it's not giving you those options, though.
Not,
you know?
Yeah, it sounds like
you know, if you could get an F8 boot to happen, you could start it up in safe mode.
Right.
Then you could launch system restore from safe mode. And,
I'm familiar with that, but I just didn't want to respond to F8 at all. But it keeps doing this, and it said finish, and so it says it will have to restart. I just may let it run another 3 days.
Yeah, go for it.
It's not on battery power, so who cares?
Yeah, nice.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
hey,
guys.
Great call. Thanks a lot, Craig.
Well, it's only call of the day so far, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So it
was the best call
bit.
Of the day.
Oh, thank you, Lou.
You just rang the bell, man.
Oh, and condolences, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much.
So,
yeah.
All right, appreciate we'll be in that. Touch.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye. Right, bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. We have a few more minutes here. 963-2976, 970-963-2976.
Yeah, so you can spend anywhere from, I think they've got some two packs of these
fob holsters, or
it's called the Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag. Dun dun dun.
Excellent.
Yeah. That bad boy is $17.99 on Amazon Prime. Oh, currently unavailable, however. That's not so good. But anyway, you can. I found some two packs for like $24 on them. And, so,
well, you'll have to test your hard drive bags and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. That's just, it's like that's one step below being a bag lady, you know, like carrying your key around in a bag. So, another call. So,
you're on with the geeks.
Hey, geeks.
Hey.
I have a Apple Mail issue.
Goody.
All right.
Tell us.
So, I was gone, and then I came back, and I hit a button to allow some installs, none of which was an update to mail, but it was some other Apple stuff, Safari, a security update, Rare Extractor, remote desktop client update, and I noticed this morning iTunes update. My mailboxes are all empty. So I went and tried to rebuild them, and that hasn't resulted in the return of any of my emails. Have you run into anything like that?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is, are you using Gmail as a provider by any chance?
Yes.
I would log on to your log on to Gmail via webmail and go into settings and go to the tab. I think it's like you log in and then open another Google window and type in less secure apps settings and Google that, and it should give you, there's one of the results should be a link that'll take you to the less secure app settings. Google Mail accounts for some reason have been turning that setting, that setting's been getting turned off all by itself just in the last few days.
Yeah.
And it would cause exactly what you're describing.
So if you want to go directly to it, go to Gmail, log in with your account, go in the upper right-hand corner with the 9 little dots.
Okay.
Little square dots. And then go to My Account. And then on the left-hand side, there will be Sign In and Security.
Okay.
Click on that. And then all the way at the bottom, look for what Louis said, less secure apps, and you'll have to make and you may want to turn it off, wait a few minutes, turn it back on, and then try to reconnect.
And, yeah, that's probably what's going on, Bob. So
I clicked the thing that said allow less secure apps, and I've turned it on.
Okay.
And now I am going to log off on my
Email.
Is that correct?
You don't have to.
You can leave the web browser mail open. Just open up your mail program now and see if you can reconnect to those mailboxes.
Okay, I'm going to turn my mail off. And then will I be rebuilding my mailboxes again?
It should just dump in.
Yeah, unless you've recreated the accounts, in which case it will have to re-download everything from Google.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give that a try.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sure. Take care.
Bye. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. 963-2976.
Just got a couple minutes. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Have you come across that lately?
You know, I haven't run into that one in a while, but every once in a while, you know, somebody will have a problem with Outlook or mail or something like that. And if they're pulling from a Gmail account, you know, probably 80% of the time, that's the problem.
Yeah. So. A lot of times the error message will say something about, like if you're in Microsoft Outlook, it'll say something about message from server, web logon. It's trying to prompt you to log on to your mail account using a browser. But the message is very cryptic. You know, fortunately I've seen it enough times. I know exactly what it means, but
yeah, it's an odd one. As I recall,
yeah,
I haven't
basically
seen that one.
It's telling you, it uses the word web logon, and it's trying to tell you to log on using your web interface system, and that there's a setting in there that needs your attention.
Yeah.
And it can only be done through that window.
Now, have you, worked with, basically, Google will give you a unique password for like your mail account. I think that's fairly new. I haven't played with it yet, but I was looking through, you know, a client's settings, and I saw something where there was an application password in there where you could set an alphanumeric password that's fairly long that you just copy, from Google into your app, and it'll.
Okay, and you're talking about like a little rectangular window that comes up in the upper left-hand corner. Is that it's almost like a two-factor authentication window for
sort of
for Gmail? Yeah, I actually just came across that today for the first time, and you know,
yeah. So I think that's starting.
And it was
to
getting
be
in the way of doing what I wanted to do, so I just like closed it, you know. But yeah, I mean, shoot, I should pay attention to that and see. You know.
Yeah, because I think you can set it up so that your mail app will have a long, unique password to connect to your Gmail account with.
Yeah.
And it'll just generate one for you and set it up.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, and I think that's in the same place with the sign-ons and security, or it's in my account section.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's like a Google Apps for Business thing or if it's available for everyone.
Well, if it is, then I would have it. So, yeah. Well, that's very cool. So, Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna try to pick up a Faraday cage for my key, and you know, I'll report back next week.
Awesome.
Not that I can really test if it works or not. I mean, I don't have one of those $30 break into your car devices.
Well, but you can, you know, you can put it in the bag in the house far away.
Yeah.
Walk up to the car and see if it unlocks.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that should be a valid test.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that definitely would do it. And, you know, I'm definitely within 200 feet of my car, you know, at my house. So, all right. Well, it looks like people have wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of their day listening to Cat Speak.
Had a couple good calls.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that.
Yeah. So...
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you for the privilege of your time.
We'll see you next week.